Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and I'm here with Daniela Topol, the director of Ironbound, which will be playing at Roundhouse Theater as part of the Women's Voices Theater Fest. Daniela, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, before we get into play, tell me a little bit about yourself. You said you're from the D.C. area?
I am. I grew up in the Bethesda Chevy Chase area, and I went to school at Charles E. Smith Jewish Day School. And I have a lot of family that still lives in the D.C. area, my parents and my siblings and their kids. So it really feels like I'm coming home by being back here.
And you listened to WTOP the whole time, right?
I have, actually. I really enjoyed WTOP and its structure, actually.
Oh, that's funny. So where are you now? Where are you in New York?
Or I'm based in Brooklyn.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
After I left D.C., I went to Carnegie Mellon for school, and I stayed in Pittsburgh. I worked for a theater there for a couple years, and then I moved to New York. And I've been in New York since 99 and working in theater ever since graduating from school.
Give us a little sampling of what are some of the stuff that you've worked on up in New York?
Oh, I've worked on only new work. My specialty as a director is focusing on working with playwrights on new plays. And I did the world premiere of Sheila Callahan's Dead City. I have done the world premiere of Catherine Trishman's How the World Began, another Sheila Callahan play called Lascivious Something. I mean, just so many world premieres, mostly in New York City, but I've also traveled quite a bit and done a lot of work around the country.
Awesome. And now this Women's Voices Theater Fest is allowing you a chance to come back home and direct a play at Roundhouse in Silver Spring.
Yeah, it's been amazing. I actually have had a chance to be back in D.C. I did two productions for Theater J.
Okay.
And I've done some seminars and workshops for the Kennedy Center, but... you know, I'm just really getting to know the D.C. theater community, and I am really impressed. Really, really impressed.
Yeah, there's a ton of theaters down here, too. Nice ones.
And there was this big kickoff for this festival. I don't know if you were at it at the Women's Museum.
Yeah.
Sorry.
With Lisa Krohn, right?
Yeah, with Lisa Krohn, and... you know, it was just this amazing event. I just was so impressed by the support and passion and commitment of the community, that the theater community is vibrant and large enough to make something like this festival happen collectively, and yet not so big that so many theaters are excluded from participating. I mean, it really feels like the perfect city to kick off such an initiative.
Absolutely. And just tell me a little bit about Ironbound. In case our listeners aren't familiar with it, tell us what the story's about.
The story is about a woman who is a Polish immigrant, and her ways in which she survived.
Okay.
So the playwright herself was born in Poland and came here when she was 2 years old. And the piece is really inspired by the truth of what it takes to survive and the ways in which we choose. Let me say this better. Let's just erase all of what
all right,
I
that's
just
fine.
Said. It's just hard to describe the play because it's character-driven rather than plot-driven.
Okay. Well,
so let me start this again.
You can actually, if you could say that, that works too, if you say it's character-driven.
Okay.
Yeah, I like that.
Right. What is special about Ironbound is that it is a character-driven piece more than it is a plot-driven play.
Gotcha.
It's less about what happened, and it's more about watching this woman named Daria, who's a Polish immigrant, and you watch her when she's 20 years old, and you watch her when she's 42 years old, and you also see her when she's 36 years old, and you see the ways in which she has chosen different men and the choices she's made as a mother and as a woman, and the ways in which she has found freedom and the ways in which she has been oppressed. And Martina does this so beautifully and honestly, and she's quite funny.
She's the playwright.
The playwright is quite funny, and as a result, her characters have quite a wit about them. Mm. And so they never feel sorry for themselves. And I think that that's the thing that's so inspiring about the play, is that you are truly watching people who have this really strong spirit of survival, that they will survive at any cost, and that they will pick themselves up and keep going. And they do that with a humor, a sexiness, and a power and a passion. And then you also watch their fragility at different moments, too. So I've had a chance to work on this play for a long time, actually. We did a workshop of it in California. We did a workshop production of it at Steppenwolf. We will do it off-Broadway after we are done at Silver Spring. And it is a labor of love and passion for me, because I feel like I am so compelled by these characters and this playwright's voice.
When did you first start doing those workshops? You said California. When? How long ago?
We actually started that about a year and a half ago.
Okay.
And it's sad to say, but that's actually really fast in the life of a play.
I believe it.
It takes about 5 years for a play to go from first draft to production. Mm-hmm. And the fact that this is going to production in 2 years is really fast, but well-deserved. And our process has been very methodical. But we've had a number of readings and workshops along the way of the play, and Martina continues to tweak and hone. In fact, tonight is our opening, and we have a couple of line tweaks. So the process
right
is
down to the very last minute.
Exactly, exactly, which is what I love.
Hey, actually, they were rewriting the end of Casablanca, like, on the set. So I think you'll be okay. That's awesome. How did you actually meet the playwright, Martina? How did she bring you on board to direct this?
We actually have the same agent, Kate Navin, and we went out on a date, you know, a theater date, to see how we got along and if
nice.
We spoke the same language and felt like we could be good collaborators.
What was the play? What was the theater date?
Oh, we went to Yale together, to Yale Rep, and we saw The Fairy Tale Lives of Russian Girls.
Gotcha.
And it was actually Martina's birthday was at midnight that night, so we ended up having pizza and cookies for her birthday.
Nice.
It was an epic night and a really good one. And, you know, you want to just make sure that the people that you work with, that you enjoy being in the rehearsal room with them and out of the rehearsal room with them, that you can really understand who they are as people and respect them and collaborate deeply together, because what we're making is quite personal. So I want to make sure you trust them innately, and I feel like we knew that about each other right away.
Yeah, I mean, you want to make sure, because you're going to be spending a lot of time together.
Exactly.
That's great. So yeah, I mean, you said it usually takes, you know, an average of 5 years or so to get a brand spanking new, you know, play from first draft to the stage, and you said it's, you guys are outpacing that a lot by doing it in like a year and a half. Is part of that due to this awesome opportunity with the Women's Voices Theater Fest?
Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, Ryan Roulette, who runs Roundhouse.
What's his name?
Ryan Roulette.
Okay.
Who runs Roundhouse. He had formerly worked at Marin Theater Company, where we were doing our initial workshop. And he saw a reading of it, and he was out there at the same time we were doing the reading, because Marin and Roundhouse were co-producing Fetch Clay Make Man, and so he was out there for some auditions, which is a play they did last season.
Oh, so he was out in California at your workshop.
Yeah, he
happened
to be out in California, and he was definitely searching for the right play. And when he heard the reading of this play, I think he was really excited. And I don't doubt that he would have been interested in producing it, but I think that the festival was a great catalyst for the urgency of producing this as soon as he chose to do that.
So you would have liked to think he would have probably produced it anyway, but this gave it, you know, sort of the perfect excuse to get it going faster than it might.
Great catalyst. Yeah. I mean, he'd be able to more honestly answer that. I actually haven't had that conversation with him. But I do think that it's not that all of the theaters that are producing these plays over these couple months aren't interested in these playwrights, but I do think that this festival has been a galvanizing force for these artistic directors to commit to production of certain plays that they might have not been exactly sure when they were going to produce them. Absolutely. So I think it's been just, you know, a great igniter of that producing, saying yes.
I like that, igniter. Speak to you can tell you're a director of theater. It's words like igniter. I love it. It's so visual. Speak a little to just the whole, you know, the whole mission of this theater fest. Why is it important to have women's voices getting out there to be able to do original plays like this and to get exposure like this?
Well, you know, Lisa Crohn said it best, as you heard from her speech that evening. I mean, I think it's about what theater does so well is it responds to the culture. It, you know, playwrights are responding to what they see in our culture. We look to our playwrights to create works that when audiences experience it, they have empathy for characters that they might recognize or might not recognize. Mm-hmm. And having diverse perspectives in the playwriting community means that you get many different kinds of plays with many different perspectives and empathies. And it's important that many playwrights from many different cultures, male and female, are supported and given opportunities to be seen on a production level, mm-hmm. so that audiences can experience their work. I think what's happening right now in American theater is that there are a lot of opportunities for women and for artists of color, but less at the production level and more at the readings and workshop level.
Got you.
And I think the challenge with that is that audiences are not able to engage with the work in that. You
right.
know, the audience is engaged with the work once the work reaches full production,
right.
and they can see it for many weeks. You know, they can sign up and subscribe or buy single tickets, whatever they're going to do. And so,
right,
what
it's very
amazing,
in the workshops and stuff. It's very in-house and inside
in-house,
baseball.
Exactly.
Yeah, this is
exactly.
allowing the audience to give feedback. That's true.
You know, and what has been amazing about seeing Martina's play over these few previews, because we've had a number of previews over this past week, is that I can tell that the audience, they might not be Daria. They aren't necessarily this Polish
immigrant.
They're
not all Polish immigrants.
But I watched them experience empathy for her. Mm-hmm. And it's very moving.
Right.
You know, you just can't have that kind of empathy from a newspaper article all the time. You try,
right.
but it's really hard to. And a number of audience members have come up to me afterwards and asked, you know, was this also inspired by the refugee crisis? And, you know, it wasn't. This was first and foremost her story and her family's story. But certainly there is a way that you can see this Ironbound and relate to other stories of immigration, of alienation, of survival, of loss. And so that's why it's important that you have work from many different perspectives.
But that's the thing. When you know, when you tap into a universal theme like this, I mean, yeah, you have Daria, this character story, you're following this one particular character study. But when you tap into a universal theme like that, people are going to project a variety of world events onto that because it speaks to, you know, and then 10 months from now, there'll be, let's say, another version of another sort of like this refugee crisis, or, you know, there'll be a different iteration of this that people can assign to your themes, because that's why your play is so universal, I think.
Yeah, exactly. You're looking to create work that is very specific, and the more specific it is, ironically, the more universal it becomes.
Right. That's interesting. That's
so
very true.
It's quite fascinating.
Awesome. I guess before we go, just talk a little bit about What it's been like to work with the folks at Roundhouse.
Oh, they're a wonderful theater. You know, I really have to say I'm very blown away by the commitment of those artists there. I mean, I walked into our first day of tech rehearsal, which is the first day that as artists, you and your actors walk into the theater, and that's the day that you're adding sets and costumes and lights. And I walked into the theater, and it was quiet. It was very quiet because all of the work had already been done. I mean, the set was already made, finished, completed. It looked excellent. The lights were already hung and focused. I mean, everything was so together.
Right.
I really have to say that I often walked into my first day of tech rehearsal, and it has been a complete scramble at wonderful theaters. And so that just demonstrated to me just how committed they were and how mindful they were about time and planning and how thoughtful they are about this being a world premiere and that this is a very exciting and unknown endeavor. You know, when you're doing a world premiere, it's really exciting because you're charting your own path, but yet you don't really know how it's going to land. You're learning about how it's going to land every performance, and they have been nothing but courageous with us as we've been making this piece.
Absolutely, and the unknown and the courageousness that it takes. I spoke with Paul Tatro over at Ford's Theater yesterday, and he I'm really impressed that you guys are able to have this opportunity. I love it.
Yeah, I love it too. You know what I also love about the Ford situation is that he's producing my friend Jessica Dickey's play, and I've done two of her world premieres.
Oh, nice.
And so it's like there's just a wonderful community of artists, you know, and it has been amazing for her to have her play done at Ford. She has two turntables, you know, and her set designer is actually my set designer, and I actually... all of that feels like a wonderful reflection of community.
Yeah.
Of the way that everybody knows everybody and is working with everybody in some way, in a really healthy way.
Right.
And I know that she's been really glad about the resources and support that Ford have given her and her play. So, yeah, cool. It's been pretty amazing for her as well. So.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, we could talk forever, but I know you have to go teach a class in like 2 minutes, don't you?
I do. Roundhouse has this Hey Days Players, mm-hmm. where they have a class of 67 to 80-year-olds.
Oh,
and they all came to the dress rehearsal of Ironbound. So I'm going to talk to them about Ironbound and our process, and we're going to talk all about directing new plays. My favorite topic.
Oh. I love it, but see, that's, you're walking the walk. You're not just getting to do it, you know, take advantage of the opportunity yourself. You're passing it on a little bit. I love it.
Yeah, I love it, too. I love it. It's great. I have the best job in the world.
That's fantastic.
Well, you probably think you have the best job in the world, but, you know.
I gotta say, we're all, we all think that it's a lot more work than people realize, just like I'm sure for
yes.
you. But
yes.
It's a daily sprint, but I love it. So, yeah,
I'm
sure you agree. But
I do.
All right, cool. Well, we'll let you bounce, but thanks so much for taking the time.
All right, great to chat with you, Jason.
All right.
Okay, take care.
Bye, Danielle.
All right, bye-bye.